Force summons.
Good evening, everybody. Tonight we are in the 12th chapter of 1 Chronicles. Just one verse tonight, verse 32, understanding the times. And when we speak of times in God's providence, it's an acknowledgement of His sovereignty over all the affairs of our lives. Not only in day-to-day events, but even in matters of salvation and the raising up and the putting down of leaders of nations. And this particular section tonight deals with a fulfillment of a prophecy from Genesis 49 regarding the tribe of Issachar, that they had an understanding of the times and they took a leadership role in elevating David to the position of king over all of Israel. So, Brother Cecil, would you open in prayer tonight, please? Amen. Brother Tom, would you read verse 32 in 1 Chronicles 12?
And of the children of Issachar,
you don't have any glasses on.
And of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do, the heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were at their commandment.
Amen. Thank you. As we talk about the sovereignty of God in the events of our lives, in the events of world history, even in the matters of salvation, in the timing of the working of the Holy Spirit, in opening our eyes and opening our ears to the truth, to convict us of sin and to turn us from the old nature and to sanctify us, to make us more like Christ. We often sing that hymn, "The light of the world is Jesus." And even in the everyday world, there's the cliche of the light bulb going on, that there's an understanding that enables us to do something or to accomplish something. And such is the case here as we see a fulfillment of a biblical prophecy. One of the many hundreds of prophecies that are not only introduced in Scripture, but then brought to fulfillment by the sovereign power of God. Back in Genesis 49, in his dying benediction upon his 12 sons, Jacob had delivered a blessing, which often included warnings or predictions of their actions and their characters or what would be accomplished through their influence. And part of the reference that Jacob made with regard to his son Issachar was that he would put his shoulder to the task. And here we have in verse 32 the fulfillment of that. And this is in the listing of the various leaders and tribes of Israel that were instrumental in bringing David to the throne of a unified Israel. Saul had died about 7 years before, around 1010 BC. And he ruled in Hebron for 7 years. Initially, he had only 600 men who followed him and served as his bodyguards. But over the next 7 years, there was an increasing number of those who had formerly supported King Saul, who came to a realization that there was a need for unity among the 12 tribes, that it was God's will that the kingdom had been taken from Saul and his heirs and given to David, the man after God's own heart. So here we have a reference to these children of Issachar had an understanding of the times. Again, the times is establishing the time frame of history. And we often say that God is the God of all history because it indeed is His story. And here we read that Issachar had an understanding of the times. The Jewish rabbis say that this was a reference to the agricultural skill of the tribe of Issachar, that they had the discernment to read and understand the stars, to recognize the signs of the weather, and to guide their actions then in productive agricultural efforts. But this goes far beyond that, because the next phrase of this fulfillment in verse 32 says that they had not only had an understanding of the times, but they knew what Israel ought to do. And this clearly makes reference then to the political situation, the necessity of unity under the headship of King David. There is some relevance perhaps to the discernment that they had regarding the recognition of the signs of the heavens. God had indeed given that ability to some, particularly in the Old Testament. As the time of the birth of Christ approached, the wise men of the East had the discernment to see the star and to follow it to Jerusalem and then to Bethlehem in search of the one who was the Messiah, the King of the Jews. But this, particularly with the listing and the reference to the many supporters who began to flock to the side of David, to turn away from Ishbosheth and those who had previously supported him, and now to accept and to encourage and to endorse King David as the ruler of all of a united Israel. This understanding the times, as the Apostle Paul tells us that oftentimes in the scripture the pattern is that it's first the natural and then the spiritual. So all of these historical events that we've seen in our survey of the Old Testament books of the Bible, they all have an underlying spiritual application, a theological reason for the events in history, that it might point us to some spiritual understanding of what God has indeed intended for us. So here we have the tribe of Issachar serving as an instrument in God's sovereign hand to encourage, to lead. We read here that there were 200 leaders of the tribe of Issachar who had the commandment of their brethren. They knew what Israel ought to do. And some people, some so-called scholars, believe that this is a copying error in the translations or in the meticulous copying of the ancient scripts, the manuscripts, that somehow as many of the other tribes are described as the total number of the troops that came to David's support. Here we only have a reference to the 200 leaders. But it says they had command over all of their brothers, all of the brethren. And this is apparently then a focus upon their leadership. They had the authority and they had the leadership ability to encourage not only their own tribe to step up and to support David, but they also encouraged the rest of the tribes to unify behind King David, to implement God's will. And thus, God used the leadership of the tribe of Issachar to raise King David to the throne over all of Israel, so that he would then move his capital city to Jerusalem as they conquered the Jebusites and as they inhabited that central location that would be the fortress and the eventual location of the temple when it was built during the reign of David's successor, his son Solomon. So understanding the times is a skill. It's a matter of wisdom, a revelation of the will of God. And when we consider the revelation that God gives to us, we must accept and acknowledge the responsibility that we have to, even as the leaders of the tribe of Issachar did, to then take action. James 1:5 tells us that faith without works is dead. In other words, we must put that which we say we believe into action. We must be quick to speak the truth of the Word of God and not compromise when we face opposition or skeptics or scoffers. We must hold firm to the truth and to proclaim the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord said that we're to count the cost, to realize that there will be an adverse reaction from the world. Not everybody will accept the reality of their sin or the necessity of salvation. But that doesn't excuse us from the responsibility to proclaim it, to offer that hope to those who have the eyes to see and the ears to hear, to realize that salvation isn't our business, that it's all in the sovereignty and the timing of Almighty God. The understanding of the times, a realization that it's the Holy Spirit of God that works out His purpose according to His timetable and not our own. So, the men of Issachar, the leaders of the tribe, had a clear understanding of what God's will was. And we might find that same understanding of the will of God if we look to His Word, the revelation of His truth to us. It reveals not only His own divine nature, but also our own sinful nature. And thus we come under conviction. We are not only convinced of our guilt, however, we are also given the glorious truth of the salvation that is possible through repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And these two are gifts of the Holy Spirit of God. It's the sovereign work of God in our lives as we come to understand these things and then to put it into practice. We often say that as we pray that we would be not just hearers of His Word, but doers. Faith requires action to establish its validity, to prove its reality. And James by no means indicated that we must earn our salvation. Paul made it abundantly clear that we are not saved through our works or through our willpower. It's not by works, lest any of us should boast. We would have a natural human tendency to pat ourselves on the back and congratulate ourselves for our intellect or our wisdom. It's God's revelation of truth. But at the same time, we are encouraged, even commanded, to pursue that holiness, to pursue that wisdom. Because He tells us, if we lack wisdom, All we need to do is ask, and he will provide it abundantly. The men of Issachar had an understanding of the times. They recognized that the time was right for David to be king over all Israel. So, though this is but one verse in Scripture, and it's a verse in the midst of a listing of a large number of the many thousands who supported King David in those early years of his unified reign over all the tribes of Israel. But it's a practical lesson for us that we must put into practice in our own lives. We are instructed to have an understanding of the times, to read the Word of God, to seek prayerfully its understanding and its meaning, to realize that God has a purpose in revealing His truth to us. Paul told Timothy that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It has a purpose. And we have a responsibility then to seek that wisdom, to seek that word, to apply that word by faith through the grace of God, to realize that He has a reason. We might read something 10 times and it might then finally come to our understanding the intent that God had for that particular moment in our lives. Perhaps we understood the truth in some aspect previously, but oftentimes there's a deeper reality, a deeper application that comes through repeated reading of the Word of God for a different perspective, or cross-referencing it to another scripture that reaffirms the truth of the unity of the Bible. We often say that Jesus Christ is present from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. And yet it requires the illumination of the Holy Spirit of God to actually recognize that, and to see it, and to believe it, and to put it into practice in our daily lives. As we make reference to the understanding of the times, we too must realize that God has a calling for us in the time frame in which He has established our lives. Moses said in Psalm 90, verse 12, that we are to number our days. And that means not only to realize our mortality, to recognize that there's an allotted time in the lifespan that God has ordained for us, but a duty and a privilege at the same time of living for Christ, serving Him, submitting to His will, and offering that good news of salvation to others, that we might be a testimony, that we might be ambassadors for His kingdom, and thus to understand the times. But not only does understanding the times have a reference to our limited lifespan, we might have 70 or 80 or 90 or even 100 years or more, but it's a limited span in the scope of eternity. But understanding the times also has reference to the eternal timetable of God. And the fact that when Christ was here the first time on earth, He said that even then they were in the latter days, the last days. So if it was the last days nearly 2,000 years ago, how much closer are we now to the end, to the day of wrath, the day of judgment, the day in which the Lord Jesus Christ will return in glory and in wrath? For the believer, it will be a glorious time, a marvelous time of celebration as we are admitted into that place where He has gone to prepare for us the heavenly marriage supper of the Lamb in that new Jerusalem, the heavenly Mount Zion. But for the wicked, for the unbeliever, it will be a time of dread and terror and severe judgment. He will say to them, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you." And the Lord rebuked people in His day on earth that they could read the signs of the heavens, the weather. They knew what the color of the sunrise or the sunset indicated, and yet they did not see the signs of the times. And as we understand that, as we move closer to the end times, the latter days, the last days, Scripture tells us that evil men will wax worse and worse. There will be an unleashing of evil to a degree that we've not seen previously. And no one can deny the fact that in the last generation or two, we've seen a steady increase in wickedness, a more blatant disregard for the truth of Scripture, even a defiance of the basic principles of human decency and nature. And yet for the Christian, we should not fear, we should not fret, because Luke tells us that when we see these things happen, we're to look up, for our redemption draweth nigh. The understanding of the times enables us to have peace and joy and contentment in a world of chaos, in a world of confusion, in a world of sin. But at the same time, it also ought to motivate us to an urgency to proclaim the truth, to offer Christ as the only hope for to escape the bondage of sin, and to turn to that eternal life that is promised to all who will repent and believe. Understanding the times, recognizing that God has an ordained timetable for every human being who has ever lived, and He desires that we be His co-laborers in the work of the gospel to spread the news of Christ, to convince and to convict others of sin, and to offer them hope and salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. Understanding the times. We sometimes sing that hymn, "My times are in thy hand, my God, I wish them there." And this is an acknowledgement of the sovereign hand of God in our lives, realizing that we go through various stages, we have our successes, we have our failures, and yet God remains sovereign. He is the one who has promised to never leave us nor forsake us. He will establish our steps. He will reward our obedience. He will chasten us when we fall short and when we go astray. But He works out His purpose and His sovereign will in our daily lives, as He has promised to finish the work which He has begun in us. And thus, like the men of Issachar, we Christians should have an understanding of the times. We must recognize our responsibility to do that which God has called us to do. May we do so in all that we say and do and think. Amen. Do we have any thoughts tonight regarding understanding the times?